Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. And in 2010, The Village Voice ran a five-part series called the NYPD Tapes about a police officer who had hundreds of hours of recorded conversations and roll calls from the 81st Precinct in Brooklyn. The tapes were damning evidence of the pressure for officers to get their numbers up at this Bed-Stuy station house and seemed to confirm an open secret about the NYPD, the existence of quotas. NYPD Commissioner Ray Kelly ordered an investigation, and now, nearly 2 years later, details from that 95-page report on the investigation are out in a new installment in the series in The Village Voice. The report confirms most of what the whistleblower, Adrian Schoolcraft, alleged and what The Voice reported about what was happening at the 81st. Back with us now is Graham Raymond, investigative reporter with The Village Voice, who's been on the story from the start. Hey, Graham, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And here's 8 seconds of the tapes that Officer Adrian Schoolcraft recorded and turned over to you a couple of years ago.
If your activity's been down, the last quarter is a good time to bring it up because that's when your evaluation's going to be done. We all know this job is, what have you done for me lately?
And here's another from a roll call at the station house, 9 seconds, that goes into a little more detail on quotas.
If I was on patrol, I would be sure to get 3 seatbelts, 1 cell phone, and then the 11 others or whatever the number is, I would try to, you know, get my activity up.
So, Graham, that was pretty specific.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rare moment where the actual number is stated. Usually, it's something a little bit more vague, like you got to pay your rent, or it's the bottom of the ninth and you're at bat, and you got to get a hit.
And whose voice or voices were we hearing there?
These are sergeants and lieutenants in the 81st Precinct in Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Now, you obtained this report of the investigation into Schoolcraft's claims, and there is bullet point after bullet point confirming what Schoolcraft has alleged. But the NYPD investigation also turned up other evidence of false claims at the 81st Precinct. So what was the pattern that the NYPD's own investigation now found?
Well, they found it's a fairly damning report. They found a systematic manipulation of crime statistics in order to avoid what are called index crime classifications, which are the 7 major crimes that are the bedrock of whenever the mayor or the police commissioner talk about how crime is, those 7 crimes are what. So if you can, they were keeping crimes out of that, out of those 7 categories in order to keep their numbers down.
So we have to hold 2 thoughts in our mind at the same time that are almost contradictory. There's pressure to get the numbers down and there's pressure to get the numbers up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Explain it further. Certain kinds of crimes they don't want reported and certain kinds of crimes they do?
They would rather have a misdemeanor, say lost property in their numbers than they would an auto theft.
Because they want to make it look like they're keeping crime on the run in their precinct, because the NYPD wants to make it look like they're keeping crime on the run in the city at large, but they want to be reporting lots of misdemeanors, so it shows like that they're producing lots of arrests, they're doing lots of stop and frisks, they're stopping a lot of the minor crime that is supposed to lead to major crime.
Exactly. Again, the public doesn't see every crime category. The public only sees the major 7. And so if you can keep a few grand larcenies off your books and call them petty larcenies, then if you can just affect your numbers by, say, 5 or 6% each year or less, that shows improvement. And that is the highway to promotion in the New York City Police Department.
Listeners, for Graham Raymond, investigative reporter with The Village Voice, as we talk about the NYPD report that found a pattern of officers and commanders misclassifying or misreporting crime complaints at the 81st Precinct in Bedford-Stuyvesant. If you've ever come across instances like this, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. And we've done a number of call-ins in the past year, as many of you know, for people who've been involved as friskies in stop and frisk incidents. We're really curious now about the other direction. If you were trying to report a crime and it was a more serious crime and you were discouraged from reporting that crime or reporting that crime in as serious a way as you think it occurred, we want to hear about that at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call right now. We'll put you right on the air with Graham Raymond. This report is specifically on Adrian Schoolcraft's allegations, this one officer from the 81st, and on the activities there. How do you know if these problems with crime reporting were rampant? To what extent is there a culture of these quotas and on the other side these degradation of crime reports which go beyond Precinct 81?
Well, it's you have to extrapolate from the report, but it's sort of the way the report says that sergeants and lieutenants, at a certain point, it became easier to just downgrade a crime rather than go through the rigmarole of trying to convince your superiors that it was legitimately reported. And you can see that in a bureaucracy. They just, you know, you just cut the corners and just say, it's not worth the trouble of getting yelled at by my boss because – so – and the 8-1 is very much a typical police precinct. So I think it's logical to extrapolate from that that it's going on elsewhere. The other thing is that the message from police headquarters, as you were saying earlier, is crime down, summonses, and stop and frisks up. So why would it be any different if it's happening in the 8-1, why would it be any different in any other precinct?
Well, you reported in January on a department order issued by Commissioner Kelly himself about correctly reporting crime complaints. Yes. What did the order say?
The order basically said you can't give crime victims the runaround. Cops can't refer crime victims to somebody else. They can't tell them to go to another precinct. They can't make a judgment on the spot based on whether or not they think there's a possibility of an arrest or whether the prosecutors will take the case. They just have to take the crime complaint and put it through the system. That is a bedrock of the police officer's role, and they've gotten away from that.
So if Commissioner Kelly issued such an order, then A, he's acknowledging even implicitly that there is this problem. On the other hand, he's saying he does not endorse these practices.
Exactly. I mean, he's never said why he issued that order, but I've been told that that was the reason. The reason was they found more widespread examples of this sort of bureaucratic mistreatment of crime victims.
Let's get a couple of callers on here. Omar in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Omar, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Brian.
What happened?
My car was vandalized in central Brooklyn. They ripped off some headlights, and they ripped off a mirror. And I called the precinct. At first, I didn't even know what to do because I thought it wasn't that big of a deal. I called the precinct, sent the squad car down, and the officers came up to me with a very aggressive look, basically saying, what the F are you calling us for? I spoke to them in a calm manner, and they didn't want to take a statement. And I asked them, you know, what should I do? And they didn't care. And I said, look, I need this done for my insurance company. And, you know, they got in my face, and they basically talked to me in a way that a thug would talk to someone on the corner. They looked like they should be hanging out in Bensonhurst, shaking down businesses. I mean, it was very scary stuff. These guys are just out of control.
Did you get the impression that for any reason they didn't want to have a vandalized car report on their hands, on their record?
I got the impression that they didn't want to do the paperwork, that it was a waste of their time. And I asked them if they knew perhaps if this is a pattern. And they told me it was most likely, in their words, some animal from the neighborhood. Mm. That's what they told me.
Thank you for your call. Antonios in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. The story I have to relay was actually told to me by a young woman I know last night. She was driving on Queens Boulevard out by the mall over there, and she saw five or six motorcycles pull over a car. Maybe the car cut them off. I don't know what the issue was. But they surrounded the car, forced the car off the road, and proceeded to smash the car with their helmets and also with their bikes, breaking all the windows, denting it, destroying the car. She called 911 to report this. They were blocking traffic, and it was an obvious crime. And the operator on 911 told her that the only way they were going to dispatch someone was if she remained on the scene to bear witness. They were not going to send anybody out unless she, who was an uninvolved party, was willing to stay and bear witness to the crime. Mm. Now, this is a young woman who's probably fairly intimidated and really doesn't want to have to deal with, you know, five or six bikers who are destroying a car.
Absolutely. Antonios, thank you for relating that. And we're almost out of time, Graham. Obviously, we can't verify the stories that callers call in with that, you know, clearly they believe them in the way that, they're telling them, but we don't know what the police's side of that story is or anything like this. But are these representative of the kinds of things that seem to be described or implied in this NYPD investigation?
Absolutely, particularly the first call. That's right out of the report. And the other thing is that, let's face it, I mean, most people just move on, you know, just like just won't even press it. So the people who actually take the time to call in or write an email to me or whatever, you know, I think there's they have some credibility to them.
And before you go, what does this report mean for the whistleblower, Adrian Schoolcraft, from the 81st? He had been forcibly taken by the NYPD to a psychiatric ward at Jamaica Hospital on the orders of his superiors at the precinct. He's been suspended without pay and faces departmental charges, and his application for unemployment benefits was denied. But does this report vindicate him and change the status of his case?
Well, it clearly vindicates him. And I think it's shocking that the police department sat on this report for almost 2 years and continued to essentially go after him. And I think the city hall and police headquarters should really respond to that glaring contradiction in their messages. If either Schoolcraft is credible or he's not, this report shows that he's credible.
Where is his case now? What's the status?
He's still suspended without pay, and his lawsuit is really his only sort of the lawsuit is what is the primary focus.
And this report was released by the NYPD, this internal investigation, or leaked to you?
I was able to obtain it through sources.
Graham Raymond, Village Voice reporter, author of a five-part series called The NYPD Tapes, about a police officer, Adrian Schoolcraft, who had hundreds of hours of recorded conversations and roll calls from the 81st Precinct in Brooklyn, and author of the subsequent pieces after that series, the latest one in this week's Village Voice?
Yes, this week's.
Thank you very much for staying on it.
Thank you, Brian.
And for continuing to talk about it on The Brian Lehrer Show. Stay with us, folks.